So we're thinking about which shayla of the week we're going to talk about. So it really was a shayla of the week. Somebody actually asked me earlier in the week that they happened to be going to Hawaii. So this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and they want to know what the parameters, what the guidelines were in terms of observing Shabbos. They said, okay, so maybe we'll give it a shot. Maybe we'll talk about it this week. And then, believe it or not, I got another call today from somebody else going to Hawaii, and they want to know the exact same shayla. I think two times in the week. I shouldn't talk about it on Wednesday night. Well, I figured that we have no choice. We have to talk about it. So I have to, then I realized that usually I'm in the gifts, we give up my makamos. So part of what we're going to discuss is that there are no my makamos. That's the problem. The problem is the Gemara doesn't talk about it, at least not explicitly. Well, some Rishonim claim that the Gemara does talk about it, other Rishonim say the Gemara doesn't talk about it. So I guess for the my makamos purposes, we're going to assume there's no Gemara about it. So it's very hard to give up my makam. There are Rishonim that do talk about it. So then I was thinking, okay, so I better put out something. I'll print out a map. So years ago, I gave a shiur about the national dateline, and I was looking for a very, very good map. And I found a good map. The only problem was is that there was a copyright on the map. So the safe that it had in it was copyrighted. So explicitly, you're not allowed to copyright. So I actually tracked down the publisher, whatever, and I got explicit permission to print out a couple of the copies of the map for the purpose of the shiur. But they told me that it was not Megillah. I had to write a whole nusach on the bottom that I'm giving permission by this person, that person. I've written a whole story to explain. So when I was today, I was in a little bit of a rush. I didn't remember where I had the copy of that letter was, and I felt bad reprinting the map that I had permission 10 years ago to print. Maybe the permission had expired already. I wasn't sure. So I figured, listen, I'll go online. Someone else printed the map. Someone was already online. It's ready to show Shusha Robert. So this is the best map I can. It's not the best map. I've seen better maps on international dateline. This was the best one that can come out without any official need for any permission. But I had to fill in a couple of things myself because it was very unclear what is what. So I had to fill in a little names on the bottom as to who she is. There's a lot of lines. It doesn't exactly spell out whose lines are who. And the most important part of the map is missing. Nobody bothered to map out where Hawaii was. So apparently the people who are using this map are only traveling to Japan. I guess they were coming from different part of the world. But for us, more people asked Hawaii, Shiloh, they're not traveling to Japan. So I added in a little bit Hawaii. I used my judgment. You know, if you tell me I'm off a little bit in the longitude and latitude, I'll, you know, please be Michael. But at least I'm within the right lines, I think. So Hawaii is approximately where I placed it. And I did fill in the names in the bottom of the important players, namely the Chazon Ish. I wrote the Geshur Chaim, even though you're correct that it's not in the Sefer Geshur Chaim. It's by the author of the Geshur Chaim, Kuczynski. We're just going to call it the Geshur Chaim. And I did take the liberty to write in the international dateline on the bottom. Now that we know the whole picture, now let's see if we can actually learn through this again. So there is, of course, a major dispute amongst the that's been going on already for quite some time as to exactly where the halacha, if anywhere, draws as a dateline. The need for a dateline seems fairly obvious when you're dealing with a globe. So it comes some point where you have to say that the day ends and now it's a different date. Otherwise, you're going to spend your entire life in going backwards. So there has to be one point where east ends, the west begins, the west ends, east, whatever you want to call it. There has to be one point of demarcation. So the Ummah HaOlam, the non-Jews, also realized that, and they came up with this concept called an international dateline. The international dateline that is followed today in the secular world is a fairly new innovation. I don't remember exactly what year it was instituted, but I think in 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. So historically, it's fairly new. Until then, nobody really cared about the international dateline because nobody was really traveling all that much, so it didn't really make much of a difference. So basically, how did the Ummah HaOlam, just to understand where the halacha fits in, how did the Ummah HaOlam come up with this idea of where to place the international dateline? So it was really very simple. The people in Greenwich, England, who were running the show, they were deciding the time for the entire world. So they decided we have to have a dateline, and the last place we wanted is anywhere near England. Because in theory, if you're not Jewish and you have no halacha guiding you, you can put a dateline wherever you want. What's the difference where you put the dateline? You can have it going right through the streets of London. That's going to make it very inconvenient because then half of London is going to be on one side or the other side. So therefore, the people in England decided we want this so far away from us that it's not going to get anywhere near cause this problem. So they looked at the globe and they said, you know what? Let's stick it in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Who cares what's going on in the Pacific Ocean anyway? So we'll stick it in the middle of Yopitsville, and that'll be the dateline of one mile of London, maybe. That's exactly where the international dateline began. It was so arbitrary that it has actually changed over the years. There have been some islands here and there that at one time in history were on one side of the dateline, Well, when it didn't meet their needs to be on that side, they preferred for other reasons to be on the other side. The hocus pocus. They gave an announcement. The club one day and said, today used to be Thursday, now it's Saturday. It used to be Sunday, now it's Tuesday. So they didn't bat an eyelash because there was nothing that was sacred about it anyway, but they changed. Lest we think that the only places in the world that changed were these islands in the middle of the boonies, so Alaska also changed in 1867 when Alaska used to belong to Russia. So it was on one side of the dateline, and then it became part of America. So they didn't want to be on the Russian side of the dateline. They wanted to be on the American side of the dateline. So they changed. So again, in the secular world, it's very, very arbitrary. And I think just a couple of years ago, there was a certain place in the middle of the Pacific that just gave a clap and announced that we're missing a day, we're losing a day, we're gaining a day, and they just changed just like that. So the question is, how does the halacha relate to this? Obviously, it's Mane Hayom, which is an integral part of halacha. Many, many areas of halacha, of course, Melchus Yom Tovim, Melchus Tila, Melchus Oymer, but the most important Shabbos, Shabbos. But we can't take this, lackadaisical approach and say, well, it doesn't really matter where it is, we'll stick in the middle of nowhere. The first question we have to ascertain is there a very specific halachic objective date line? Is there a place in halacha where the halacha really draws the date line? So here, the reason why the sources are so few, in terms of the early sources, is that it wasn't really all that nogeya. Nobody traveled at such speed that it became relevant at all. And now the question becomes, now that people are traveling much more, and people are traveling at obviously significantly greater speeds than they were, now the question becomes, is there any really formal dateline? So there was an opinion in the Rishonim already that the Baal HaMor, on the days of Rishonim, wrote a parish on many Mesechus and Shas, and there is a sugya, Mesechus HaShoshan, a very, very complicated sugya, that the Baal HaMor claims actually is addressing the issue of a dateline. It's addressing the issue when is the end of East and when is the beginning of West. So basically, the way the sugya plays out, according to the Baal HaMor, is that the dateline is what we call 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is almost is the central part. And now the world is divided into four different quarters. And one quarter of the globe is 350 degrees, so it's 90 degrees. So 90 degrees, one quarter of the globe to the east of Yerushalayim, that is where time begins and that is where time ends. That is the official halachic dateline. Where in the world did Chazal get this from? It must have been some kind of halacha masini, some kind of a tradition, some kind of a mesira, the way the Baal HaMor is learning, that somehow that's considered one quarter of the world to the east of Yerushalayim. That is the beginning of time, that is the end of time. So where exactly does that place us? If you take a look at some of the lines on this picture, so the middle line is going right smack to Yerushalayim. You can get a good picture of this. This is a very pro-Israel map. It doesn't even have the word Israel on it. So, but it should have the name of the state of Israel in it. So that is the line of halacha in the sense of that's Yerushalayim, that's Eretz Israel. And then when you go 90 degrees to the east, one quarter of the world, you get to that first line to the east, which runs through a good chunk of Siberia, it runs through a little bit of China, runs right smack through the Pacific, and then right smack through Australia. That is the 90-degree line. That is the Baal HaMor's line. The Posek, well, we'll see in a second, we'll see what the Chazmish says. So the Baal HaMor is the one who was the first Rishon that we have, at least we have a few other Rishonim, but one of the main Rishonim who actually speaks about the existence of the dateline and puts it at that point. So the Chazmish was the biggest supporter of this opinion. The Chazmish claimed that this was the view of most of the Rishonim. We collected several other Rishonim who also seemed to accept this idea. And the Chazmish said, this is the official halachic objective dateline, Chayk Layavar. Well, not exactly Chayk Layavar, because the Chazmish was bothered with the problem, which already the Rishonim were ready to bother with, is that if you follow this to the logical conclusion that there's an official dateline, what it means is that you have one person standing over here, and you have another person 2 feet away, and they're on different days. For one person, it's Shabbos, one person, it's Sunday. It's a totally different day. So how can there be such a halacha? How are you talking? That would be such an absurd concept in halacha. So there are already Rishonim who raised that question and said the following, that whenever you have such a scenario where you have two people on the same block having different days, that's impossible. It must be, we have a principle called Ein Chokin Yabosha, that once part of a land mass has already been considered to be part of the Eretz Yisrael's mount, and everything revolves around Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, so once a particular land mass is still within the 90 degrees, within one quarter of the globe, close to Yerushalayim, so we automatically declare that's Yerushalayim time, or that's Yerushalayim day, actually, And then the entire landmass becomes nigra, becomes greater, becomes schlek and drag after that small portion that was following Yerushalayim day. So what does that mean practically, says Chazon Ish? So even though it's true that the line in theory should be a straight line, but if you look, if you follow what it says in the bottom of Chazon Ish, the line starts to go up, and it goes up. So in the Pacific Ocean, you can have a split, doesn't matter. You have one boat one way, one boat, that doesn't bother us. But once you hit the mass, the landmass of Australia, so then the western part of Australia is technically within the Eretz Yisrael day, and the eastern part of Australia really should be a day behind. It should be an entire day behind, because time begins at that point and time ends at that point. So the minute you go into eastern Australia, you should be an entire day behind. So the Chazon Ish says that's not possible. That can't be. And therefore, the entire coast of Australia, the dateline shifts. The dateline follows, hugs the coast of Australia. And all of Australia is Nigra Basar Eretz Yisrael, and that's the Eretz Yisrael day. The minute you leave the coast of Australia, once you're now in the middle of the Pacific, so then you're on the wrong side of the halachic dateline, according to the Baal Mor, the Chazon Ish, and you tackle one day behind. So you think the Shabbos is going to be on Saturday? That can't be. Shabbos is going to be on, it's going to be a day later. Whatever that day later is, we'll see as we proceed. So there are two nekudas that the Chazon Ish made popular in the sugya. That first of all, he accepted the Baal Mor's basic premise that the dateline is drawn 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, and then he modified it a little bit, again, quoting some Rishon, who had this idea, called Ein Chok in Yabash, or Greater, which is basically the same principle, that once we ascertain part of the continent, part of the landmass is following Eretz Yisrael time, and the rest as well. How does this play out a little bit further up north? So you keep on going further north, so you realize that the dateline also runs into Siberia. So the same Svar, the Chazon Ish said, that since part of the mass of Europe, is a good chunk of it is in Yerushalayim time, even though there's a little bit of Siberia that's still technically over the line, because they said that wouldn't make a difference, that we would just drag the rest of Siberia and would follow the western part of Siberia, follow the western part of Russia, and it would all be Eretz Yisrael day, and where would the dateline go? So you see, it hugs the coast, basically. Comes the Chazon Ish and says, based on these two premises, that the dateline really is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, but in the case of Yabasha, we say Ein Chok in Yabasha. What if it's not a Yabasha? What if it's just an island? What if you have an island sitting in the middle of the Pacific and it happens to be past that line? So the Chazon Ish says, if it's past that line, so then it's taka a whole entire day behind. So what are some examples of days like a place like that? So if you look in the map, you can see if you keep on going further, I'm afraid to say east or west, depending on what you think, but if you keep on going, moving to the right, past the line that went through Australia, you bump into New Zealand. So New Zealand is very far from Australia. New Zealand is an island. It's not connected to Australia. It's not part of Australia. So New Zealand, says the Chazon Ish, is going to be mamash a day behind because it's past the dateline. So it's rather than being east of Yerushalayim, halachically it's west of Yerushalayim. It's going to be a full 24 hours behind what we thought it's going to be. Until you look at the map, so some people think that New Zealand and Australia are mamash on top of each other. So somebody was calling me with a shayla a couple of years ago about the mikveh in New Zealand. They were trying to describe that some problem with the mikveh. They're trying to get some guidance what to do about the mikveh in New Zealand. They said, you know, it's very hard to answer the mikveh shayla without seeing it, and I wasn't really planning on flying out to New Zealand. They weren't offering me a ticket. So I said to them, you know, maybe it's kedai when you get one of the rabbanim from Australia just to come down and take a look. I was like talking like going up to the mountain. The guy said to me, it's like a 5-hour flight, like from, what about that? Now I look at the map, it's not the far, it's not on top of each other. So comes the transition test. All those people live in New Zealand, so they're an entire day behind where they thought they were. What's another good example of a problematic island? Japan. Because if you take a look a little further up north, you'll notice that Japan is also in that same rut, according to the Chazon Ish, that it's past his dateline, and therefore it's an entire 24 hours behind. The problem with both Japan and New Zealand is that international dateline still has them on the same date as Eretz Yisrael, because if you look at the next major line in this picture, the international dateline, so that's further to the east. So according to the secular account, according to the Goyish account, so it's technically Saturday in Japan, it's technically Saturday in New Zealand, but according to the Chazon Ish, it's not Saturday. According to the Chazon Ish, it's Friday. And when is Saturday? When is Shabbos? Shabbos is on Sunday. Because according to the Chazish, any talk, whatever the Goyim tell you, you always know that you're 24 hours behind that. But the Goyim think that you're still in the same basic framework as Europe and Eretz Israel. No, you're behind everybody rather than ahead of everybody. According to the Goyim, Japan and New Zealand are leading the pack in the ball drops, the Havel Elf Adolis. So they always say, the first place the ball drops in New Zealand, and that. So according to the Chazanish, I can't even say with a straight face, but according to the Chazanish, that's the last place where the day is. Because according to the Chazanish, everything is behind rather than in front. So of course, this spells a significant complication for Shmir Shabbos. According to the Chazanish, a person is in Japan on Saturday, not Shabbos. According to the Chazanish didn't even have a latest asafik about this. He writes, it's a milsa de pshita, that the correct observance of Shabbos Kodesh in Japan and New Zealand is not on Saturday. Saturday is a Yom Chol L'Chodava Ben L'Kula Ben L'Chumra. Sunday is a Yom Kodesh L'Chodava Ben L'Kula Ben L'Chumra. That was the famous psak of the Chazon Ish. So others disagreed with the Chazon Ish, and the main disagreement with the Chazon Ish revolved around his very premise of where to draw the original date line. So other poskim said that is not the correct date line. The correct date line is not 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, but rather 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, which at least Nisvara would make a lot of sense, because we almost view Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim as being the center of the world. It makes a lot of sense. You have 180 degrees on one side and 180 degrees on the other side. So time begins, time ends, 180 degrees east and west of Yerushalayim. So Chazanish says, it's a very nice spot, but irrelevant, he says, in the way the Baal Mold of Pshat and the Gemara, it was 90 degrees. It could take first to take till tomorrow. But the other Polkim say that maybe we don't follow the Baal Mold. We should have the Baal Mold. The other Polkim did put it at 180 degrees. So that 180 degree number is usually called the Gesher Chaim's line. Gesher Chaim was written by Rav Tugutsinski. Gesher Chaim is a Sefer Nuchos Avelos. He wrote many Sefarim. The most famous one was the Gesher Chaim. But he was the biggest supporter of the view that disagreed with the Chazon Ish. It wasn't only him. There are many other Gedolim who disagreed with the Chazon Ish as well. According to them, though, the date line is, if you take a look, it's the last line on this map, the furthest to the right line of the map, which basically means that Japan and New Zealand, all the places that we were having problems with before, no longer have any problems because the Goyim are right. That it's still within the Eretz Yisrael's Zmanim, it's still within the Yerushalayim's Zmanim. If it's Saturday, according to the secular calendar, so it's Saturday, it's Shabbos Kodesh, according to us as well. Everything sounds like it's great. If you just follow the Gesher Chaim, life is so simple. Life is not so simple, according to the Gesher Chaim, because there's another very important piece of geography here, and that is Hawaii. That is, take a look, there's a whole area in the Pacific that's between the international dateline and the Gesher HaChaim's dateline, where now whatever the Chazanish said becomes flipped, and whatever the Gesher HaChaim said becomes flipped as well. Let's see if we can think this through. According to the Goyim, according to the secular dateline, so Hawaii is trailing the rest of the world, because Hawaii is already past the dateline. So it's trailing the rest of the world, which according to the Chazanish is perfect. That's exactly where we want it to be. We want it to be trailing the rest of the world, because according to the Chazanish, it's already we already passed the dateline miles and miles and miles ago. So Bein Lefi HaChazanish, Bein Lefi the secular dateline, Hawaii is exactly where it's supposed to be. So Saturday in Hawaii, and the Shabbos in Hawaii, according to the Chazanish. But according to the Gesher Chaim, we have a big problem, because according to the Gesher Chaim, Hawaii is not trailing the rest of the world. Hawaii is leading the pack. Hawaii is ahead of the rest of the world, because according to the Gesher Chaim, you're just shy of the dateline. If you look at the map, Hawaii is several hundred miles before you hit the international dateline, which means that time begins in Hawaii. Time doesn't end in Hawaii. According to the secular world, time ends in Hawaii. According to the Gesher Chaim, time begins in Hawaii. What does that mean for us? What that means is that when the Goyim tell you that it's Friday, you know what day it really is? It's really Shabbos Kodesh, according to the Gesher Chaim. So now your mama should have pickled. So the people who are traveling to Japan, so the Chazanish is confusing them. The people who are driving to flying to Hawaii, the Gesher Chaim is confusing them. So those are the two major positions, Gedolia Poskim. What is a dateline? Everyone agrees that there's some kind of an official halachic dateline. It's not clear which one it is, but two big nafshiminas, Hawaii on one side, Japan the other side. So the Gesher Chaim describes it in the other way. That means that affects his view on Alaska, right? That means he's willing to, even though part of Alaska is actually past his dateline, he's willing to forgo that. He's willing to forget about that problem. Others are not willing to do that. and therefore we'd have problems in Alaska also. Oh, not the complicated. We'll leave the Alaska. No one calling about Alaska this week. We'll stick to the Hawaii call this week. There is a third logical possibility out there that maybe one could argue that there is no dateline. Namely, there's no official halachic dateline. We started the shiur by saying we don't have any minor premise. All we have is a balamar that we're not even sure we follow. So there are a group of other poskim. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was one of the poskim who subscribed to this idea, who said that there really is no official objective dateline, but there has to be a dateline somewhere. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, you know what the dateline is? Whatever the Olam gives up to the dateline. The people started to travel to the east. So when they reached the point of their travels, when they realized that they had traveled too far, so when they declared, we have the Bayim convened together to say, so this is the end of time, this is the end of time. The Allah says the same thing. There is no official holy dateline written into the halacha. The dateline is, whatever the Olam gives up to the dateline. So therefore, according to Tzvi Pesach Frank, it comes out that the halachic dateline is an effective equivalent to the secular dateline, which is, again, is a very problematic thing because it's changed over the years. We know for a fact it's constantly changing. So according to Tzvi Pesach Frank, it comes out as follows. It's hard to understand it, but it makes life very easy for everybody because anyone in Japan just keeps Shabbos on Saturday. Anyone in Hawaii keeps Shabbos on Saturday. According to Tzvi Pesach Frank, you don't have to call the Shaila. Just take a look at your watch, whatever. Look, look at the clock, whatever it says, the clock in that place. Thus is the dateline. That's the official date. So you have three different opinions of the Gedolei HaPoskim. What do you do? Is there an official dateline which puts Japan into trouble? Is there an official dateline that puts Hawaii into trouble? Or is there no official dateline there for everybody's home truth? How do we task it? How should we task it on the Shiloh? Very, very difficult Shiloh to task it. But this Shiloh was really brought to a head during World War II. It was became a famous Shiloh for the Mir Yeshiva. The Mir Yeshiva, when they went to exile, but before they ended up in Shanghai had its own service for other things, but Shanghai was not a problem of dateline because Shanghai was in China proper, in the mainland of China. But for a short time before they were in China, before they were in Shanghai, they were actually in Kobe, Japan. And for several months, they, I don't know exactly how long, but they were in Kobe for a little while, and the Shiloh was raised. What do we do about which day to keep Shabbos? So there were apparently two different groups of Talmidim, two different telegrams were sent to two different sets of Gedolim as to what the Hachra should be. So there were telegrams in Nebuch Europe. Nobody was entering Shilohs anymore in Europe at that point. But the Shilohs were sent to Eretz Yisrael. The Chazanish was in Eretz Yisrael already, and the Ger Rebbe was in Eretz Yisrael. So there were two different sets of telegrams that were sent, and there were two different responses that were given. So the Chazanish responded with his psak, and the Ger Rebbe, who was in consultation with the Gesher Chaim, responded with the alternate psak. So now the Bir Yeshiva was faced with this dilemma of two different psakim. So what do you do? So there were many who followed the practice that we're going to be machmir for both. It's very hard to know what the real Shabbos is. A skila. Very, very serious Shabbos. There's not a Shabbos of what day of Shush or Yom to say. There's a Shabbos of Deraisa. There's a skila and a very karet. So there are many who are of the opinion that hard for us to be machmir the Shabbos and stuff with Deraisa. We have no way to be machmir between the Gedolei Olam. We're going to deserve both. So in Japan, what that would mean is we have to observe Shabbos on Saturday as well as on Sunday. So that was the whole approach that was taken. So kind of. Right. So that issue, that psak that was given that some people were following, kind of went that way. It wasn't that hard for the Bachurim to do that. But then the issue really, really reached the head in Yom Kippur. Because when it came before Yom Kippur, so then the Shiloh had to really, really be assessed again. Because to follow the psak in Yom Kippur is tantamount to telling people to fast for 2 days. That's a very, very difficult psak to implement. So there was a different psak floating around in Kippur time. Once again, those who followed the psak of the Chazanish held that Yom Kippur is, on the following day, the day after people in Japan thought it was, that were those are the real people who followed the Chazanish. And there were still others who said, we're not sure, and therefore we're going to issue the following. Those who feel that they're healthy enough to try to fast 2 days, the Taka try to fast for 2 days. So there were some, again, I don't know, I wasn't in Kobe, Japan, I don't know, but apparently there was such a psak floating around, and there were some people who actually did try to fast both days. Apparently the Chazanish was very upset about that, because he felt that the people who were trying to fast both days, not only was it dangerous, and not only was it shaloi, or was it not necessary, but he was concerned that it would be mevatel the mitzvah deraisa, eating an erev Yom Kippur. So he said, they're trying to be so frum and fast for 2 days, and losing a mitzvah deraisa. The others responded, the mitzvah deraisa, what are you going to do? Shav and mitzvah karen, so we can't eat the yesh v'yesh. So the good news was that the mice, they left Japan. They were only there for that one Yom Kippur, and then eventually they made it to Shanghai, and the shaloi in Shanghai became a moot shaloi. So the Shiloh has resurfaced in our days again. People travel more under more comfortable conditions, obviously. And the question becomes, what should the achra be in these kinds of shas? What should we tell people, those who travel both to Japan as well as to Hawaii? So there are many poskim today who also treat this quasi like the safek and start to almost like add up the different shittas and make the following assessment. In the back of our minds, we always have a tipek safrank. The tipek safrank was the shita that you do it, whatever the natives are doing, that's what you do. I mean, that the halacha is, there is no formal dateline. The halacha is, whatever the olam zok, even if the olam is a secular olam, that is considered to be Shabbos, l'chol dini ha-Torah. So we always have that almost in the back of our mind. So that's what many folks can get with the following, almost like a compromised check. That if a person is visiting Japan, so the odds are that Saturday is the correct Shabbos. Why? Because two out of the three possibilities point in the direction of Saturday. Geshur Chayim points in the direction of Saturday, as well as the Tzipek Sefrank points in the direction of Saturday. The only one, the dissenting view, is the Chazon Ish. So two out of three, what's that, a row, a little bit, Ramahatis. Two out of the three logical possibilities are pointing Saturday to be Shabbos. So therefore, the following compromise Tzach is given. That Me'ikar Adin observe Shabbos on Saturday. That means, on Saturday, daven, the Shabbos davening. On Saturday, don't do any melachas, don't do any mukhtas, don't do anything. Mamish keep like Shabbos. However, in deference to the Chazon Ish collected Rishonim, the Baal HaMor, the Kuzari, the Gedalia Rishonim, who say like the Chazon Ish, there's no question about that. But many poskim today say that at least vis-a-vis melachas deraisa, you shouldn't do on Sunday. You should be careful not to do deraisa on Sunday. Agabi derabbanan, the rabbanan, you can rely on the rabbi poskim. But the rabbanan, you can observe Shabbos on Saturday. But if you're stuck in Japan and you can avoid being there matayv, but if you have to be there, so then you should at least observe their ices on Sunday. You should be careful what that means. We'll have to talk about in a moment what that means exactly, practically speaking. But that's the psach that's floating around today. So there are many people who follow the psach. That was the psach that was given several years ago. There was a trip in the summertime by some YU students. I forgot what exactly they were going for. But there was some kind of a study that was taking place in Japan. So a group of Talmidim went to the psach. I wasn't involved in the Shaila, but the psach that was given to them was this psach that they should observe Shabbos, the Ikra Din on Saturday, like apparently Rabbah Poskim, on Sunday they should refrain from doing all their ices. So they actually had, there was a non-Jewish professor who was accompanying them, so he was, I don't know what you call him, the Sunday guy, the Shabbos, I'm not to call him, but anything they had to do, so he did on their behalf. So he was very excited to be, all the their ices that had been done were done there, so everything in effect became an Amir Liakom, which is the fact only at their Rabban. And following that psach that's given about Japan, then the flip side psach would be given about Hawaii as well. If somebody finds themselves in Hawaii, so then Saturday they should treat as the real Shabbos, the Rova Poskim, because that's the combination of, here it's the Chazon Ish who combines with the Tzipek Sefrank. But on Friday, one should be careful not to do any deraisas, because in deference to the Geshur Chayim. So it's the same psach, with a little bit of a flip. That Sunday is the funny day in Japan, Friday is a funny, strange day in Hawaii. Now, of course, the question becomes, what's the deraisa, what's the derabbanan? It's hard to answer that question in the next 10 minutes, but you have to learn how to Shabbos to figure that out. So this week, I received the following text. Someone was asking me, what should our policy be? What happens to me? We're going to be in Hawaii this week. We're going to be in Hawaii for Shabbos. What should they not do on Friday? So they already presented to me. They already had heard this. They said, what's considered to be included in deraisas? So they wanted to know, we turn on lights. You can't turn on lights. I said, we assume that turning on lights is a melacha deraisa. If it's an incandescent bulb, then for sure it's a melacha deraisa. Even if it's a fluorescent bulb, we assume it's probably deraisa because the starter glows a little bit and heats up a little bit. It's shalav havara. They said, you cannot turn on any lights. And then they want to know, can we write? I said, nope, you cannot write. I said, writing is a melacha deraisa, you can't write. And then they said, well, what else can we do? I said, you can't book. You can't drive your car. They said, what? They wanted to know, can we move muktza? Said, you can move muktza. We're going to do about it. They want to know, can we pay with something with a credit card? When you don't sign, I said, just the buying and selling. That's technically only the abundant. I said, not on Saturday, can't win it. Saturday is regular Shabbos. But like I mean, this chumrah of Friday, according to the cheshish for the Geshur Chayim's potential Shabbos, so you shouldn't do the right. I said, the abundant you can do. Then they try to stop me a little bit. What should we do about Abokas neighbors? The wife wanted to know. How should I bench lach? They said, you got me. I said, there's no way for you to bench lach on Friday. Unless you can come up with a candle, you come up with a flashlight. I don't want to start going down that route. So I said to them, I said, to tell a Jewish woman not to mention lech is very, very hard. So I said, do like this. I said, on Thursday afternoon, light two candles without a bracha. He said, maybe it's Shabbos. Maybe it's going to be Shabbos Thursday night. Maybe light without a bracha. Leave on an electric light. It should last for more than 30 minutes. Stay on until you turn it off on Sunday. So turn on an electric light, and at least you'll have the only Shabbos of the electric light in your apartment on Friday night. So the Ikra, you're not really Yotzei Halachas Nerus like that, but at least it's a partial kiyum. He said, you can't make a bracha on that. So she wasn't so happy about that. I don't want to say. I don't go to Hawaii. But reminds her, she's in Hawaii. That was the best eight that I can come up with in terms of. There could be other nuances. There could have been a better eight, but I was very, very weary to start to tell certain life if it did Rabbanan. I don't want to go down that route. So it's safe for Psakis. So those guys, Michael on Hadlachas Nerus. Oh, because for Shabbos purposes, for Tefillah's purposes, we're treating Saturday, so we make a vote on the first Shabbos.
On the other hand, like you're in camp, that's Friday, then you can't end that.
Where are you? In Japan or Hawaii?
Yeah,
because Shabbos is a real day anyway. You can make up the Lomotsu Shabbos. You make a whole bunch of light or something. There's on already, whatever you figure out. Yeah, you can't turn on the light. Right. No. If you were yet Nikra, then you really is. That's a big shot. You have a goy like Kenneth, that's a big shot. According to most posts, you can't make a brach in the Kenneth with the goy's light. It's not so posh you can do that. Okay. The Jew is not machber on this. You find a Jew. He never heard of this chum. He didn't come to the Shia. No, because he always takes the chazin Shia. He's in Hawaii. He's a brave brach. From brave brach, he's happens to be in Hawaii right now. So. And you think the Chazanish is right, Ben Kul, Ben Chumra. Okay, if you have to advertise in Hawaii, looking for Chazanish, Nika. No, I don't think so. The local communities in all these places keep on Saturday. I think so, I'm guessing. Yes, the question is, can you be so to yourself, in effect? So, according to pure Chazanish, pure Gesh Nechaim, you can't have Saturday in both. What we always have in the back of our mind, Rav Tipe Frank, is almost a machria. So I guess in theory, you can quasi being Celsius, right? The mother situation, right? It's a very, very strange thing. Again, these are not lechachil situations. It's better not to be in these places in the Shabbos. Those who, for whatever reason, find themselves in these places would have to make doing this. Question.
Question. Question. Question. Question. Question.
Yeah, but but the problem is that it's the mere apostle. I don't think it's the Rav apostle. I remember somebody called me the Shaila several years ago. They called me from Hawaii. They called me on a Thursday afternoon. They called me about something about the microwave. I don't do Shabbos. I don't know how to cash a microwave in the hotel room or something on a Thursday afternoon. So I said to them, "Are we going to be Shabbos?" They said, "Oh, we don't want to be in Hawaii. Shabbos, we're flying to LA on Shabbos." I said, "Oh, well, nice. When are you flying? We have a flight late tonight." Thursday afternoon, they told me that. So I said, "I don't want to share your vacation, but you asked me about a microwave." I said, "That's the least of your issues." I said, "You have a shot of the rices over here." I said, "You shouldn't really be doing a malacha tonight after Shkia." They didn't know where I was coming from. I said, "I'm not trying to explain to them what I was talking about." They said, I asked them, "Okay, so when is your flight?" "At 12 o'clock at night." I said, "No problem, you can go on your plane." He said, "There's no deraisa getting on a plane. And there's not even an issue of tchumen, because even according to those who say tchumen deraisa, the tchumen deraisa over water is only tchumen under the rabban over water. It's a rambam, it's not a real, which is the rabban, so there's no tchumen deraisa." They said, "You can get onto the plane. There's no malach involved." I said, "The only thing that you can't do is you can't write, you can't cook, you can't do malach deraisa." So I said to them, "How are you getting to the airport?" They said, "We're returning the rental car." I said, "Great. What time is your flight?" 12 o'clock. They said, "Good time is Shkia, 8 o'clock. Return the car before Shkia and sit in the airport." I said, "Sing Shom Aleichem, whatever you want to do." So you go to the airport, make sure you're in the airport with your. They asked me that. So they said, "Rabbi, we got everything." I said, "Go to sleep on the plane." I said, "Don't do any malacha. Don't write anything. Just go to sleep. At some point when you wake up and it's light, you're already in L.A." So I said, you went back to Friday. You went back. You crossed the date line on the holiday. So they asked me, "What do we do about the bathroom?" I don't know. I have to figure out anything to do with the bathroom. That was not the cash that they asked also. But whatever it is. When all said and done, So again, these are four situations where a person finds himself in these positions. Very, very difficult shots in the career. Really, no absolute clear-cut stop. But these are, many of the poskim today come up with these kind of compromised psukim, their ISIS, Allah, etc. Right, right. You mean that you, if you're flying from China, you may fly into these questionable time zones, right? I remember Rabbi Bullock had a chaf. He said if a person's in Hawaii for Shabbos, so they should make Shabbos early, Friday afternoon. Why? Because then they can make Kiddush. You can make Kiddush after Plag of Mincha. And just in case Friday was the real Shabbos, but the Yevid is still Yotze Kiddush. You can make Kiddush all day. So that was his personal chaf. The other svarim, that was his own. I found Rachmanis on the people right this week. They were so confused when I told them I left out the chaf of the Kiddush. But anyway, I call upon him. These are literally just a Russian prachim. Very, very fascinating. And modern day, very, very much relevant to the Chumash.
What if you...